A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
I'm so excited to talk with Rick and Doug today, the carnivore hunters. For those that are not familiar with you gentlemen, can you please tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. Yeah, I guess I'll start. I started on the carnivore diet here first. My brother and I were both born and raised in Colorado, grew up hunting. Earlier this year, I was actually talking my wife into going on the carnivore diet, cause she had a lot of gastrointestinal issues. So, wanted to see if that we could make that help her. And then I figured hopefully I could lose a little weight for myself along the way. And then, you know, things started going the way they go for carnivores. Right. And, then I, you know, saw my brother at a family party and he asked me what I was doing. So.
Yeah, Doug had actually told me about this over the phone before the party, and I kind of forgot about it. I thought he was kind of crazy, right? but when I saw him at the party, I was like, darn, man, it looks like you've lost some weight. And he said, yeah, I'm down about 20 pounds. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing the carnivore. I go, oh, that's right. And so we kind of talked about it during that party. And then I came back home. We're a couple hours apart. I came back home and I think it was like a couple of weeks later, I was looking for something on YouTube and I stumbled upon this carnivore video. I don't even remember whose it was. Mm-hmm. I started watching it and I was like, I want to do a little more digging, man. I went down this rabbit hole and I just watched hours and hours of carnivore. I'm like, man, I'm going to give this a try because I was already on keto at the time and I was failing pretty badly with keto. And man, just, it was a huge difference once I made the change in the results. You know, my main goal was to lose weight and get off some meds. I was told last December I was type 2 diabetic and I have since reversed that. I have a normal A1C now and, awesome. I'm not at all diabetic anymore. Yeah. So
I love that, man. Doug, how did you first hear about the carnivore diet?
My first encounter was actually the Joe Rogan podcast. When he had Jordan Peterson and then his daughter Michaela on there. My wife had some pretty bad gastrointestinal issues. She was taking, medication for hypothyroidism. And I've never liked drugs from a doctor. Like I've always been kind of skeptical of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for a way to kind of get her off of that. And it was again, kind of after that same thing my brother did, I started seeing more and more videos pop up from, you know, Dr. Barry, Dr. Baker, Dr. Chafee, all those things. And, I finally just went up to her one day and I'm like, hey, I want to give this a shot. And she said, okay, I'll do it for 30 days. I'm like, okay, all right, but we'll try it for 30 days. And I kept trying to push her even early out to longer than that. I was like, well, let's do 2 months. She's like, nope, 30 days. but after 2 weeks, she's like, okay, I can go 6 weeks. I can do this for 6 weeks because you start feeling better right away.
Right.
And then 6 weeks turned into 3 months. And then, at the end of the 3 months, we were kind of like, okay, I don't think we're ever going to stop doing this.
I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. So your wife has been carnivore for how long now?
Since March 3rd, or March 5th, sorry.
Okay. So what is that, 6-7 months now?
About nine.
9 months.
Cross
nine, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Awesome. Very cool. So in your guys' travels with the carnivore diet, did you experience any like setbacks or troubles along the way or anything like that, any complications?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
We've had some family trips. Every fall we do this big family trip where we go ATV riding and we try to catch the fall colors. So that was just shortly, or at least in my time frame. I've been doing this 6 months now. Every family is responsible for providing a meal, so we can't really control, or at least we haven't figured out a way to control where we can stay strictly carnivore. And while we were on that trip, I found out I had a condition called diverticuli or
diverticulitis.
Well, it developed into diverticulitis during that trip.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But I developed diverticulitis like the last couple of days we were on that trip, and I just thought I had the runs, but I couldn't go. So, but it feels like you have diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
And, it took me a week to figure that out. My wife finally said, "Hey, you're going to the hospital or you're going to go see the doctor." So they did all this work and a couple of days later, or actually it was the next day, I think they told me, I said, "Yeah, you've got diverticulitis." And so I had to get on antibiotics and stuff. And so I've been doing a ton of research, trying to figure out what causes it, but the doctors don't really know what causes it. There's a belief that it's nuts. So I'm kind of afraid of nuts right now, but I did see a video from Dr. Barry, and he has a study saying that it's not the nuts and the seeds that cause diverticulitis. That's one study. I'm the type, I need to see multiple data sets to convince me. So I haven't eaten any nuts or seeds since then. Well, technically a carnivore, you can't.
Right.
But then, I don't know, that was my most major. We've had some small setbacks. Can you think any, Doug?
Yeah, no, I mean, just those family parties where carnivore foods aren't readily available.
Right.
But even in those, that's actually kind of what I love about this is the couple of times I have gone off, the next day I crave a really big steak.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're right back into it. So,
yep.
That's what I would encourage most people is, you know, you don't come down too hard on yourself. If you do fall off, just get back on, you know, write yourself the next day. It's not that big of a deal. In fact, there was one time where I was actually, I was in a kind of a weight loss stall, and there was a big party and I think I had some vegetables and some rice or something like that. Cause I was starving and, next time I weighed myself, I was like up like 2 pounds. But then after that, I dropped like 7 pounds within the next week.
Wow.
So I don't know if that kickstarts it or what. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that for anybody, but that was just kind of my experience.
Right. Yeah. I had a similar experience. I forget what they call that, but yeah, it's almost like the carbohydrates helps to kickstart the withdrawal of the fat out of the cell or something like that. But yeah, same thing happened with me. I gained a pound or two and then all of a sudden, whoosh, there it starts to go again.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. So you guys have had a couple bumps along the way. So what kind of benefits have you seen? Any weight loss or?
Oh, geez. Yeah. I'm down 50 pounds or 50 pounds now.
Oh, wow.
As for in the 9 months and actually the things that hit me first is, I didn't start snoring until I was in my 30s and I just figured cause I was gaining weight and I was kind of hoping that eventually by losing some weight, I would stop snoring. My wife and I both stopped snoring within the first like 2 weeks. And that was like completely unexpected. And because we just kind of said it to each other, I'm like, yeah, you haven't snored in a while. And she's like, you haven't either. So, I haven't encountered her snoring at all since then. I had plantar fasciitis in my right heel for years. Just excruciatingly painful when you get up in the morning. And that's gone. That hasn't bothered me in probably about 8 months. My brother and I both have a condition inherited from our mom that was supposedly incurable. It's called familial tremors. And it's just kind of, you just shake all the time. But now that's just gone away.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all the doctors our whole lives have said, yeah, it's just hereditary and there's nothing you can do about it. So just stick with it.
Well, take that doc.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife's off of all of her medications, of course the weight loss and just general less aches and pains for me.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
What about you, Rick?
I'm down just, I think 53 pounds, 54. So yeah, we've got a combined weight loss of over 100 pounds, which is awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. And like Doug said, I had the eczema, that's gone. I also had just itchy skin. Mm-hmm. Like I always thought I needed lotion or something. And it would be really bad on my back. And I'd have my wife just lather up my back with lotion and it would still itch. My itchy skin has gone away. My cholesterol came back into check. So when I found out I had type 2 diabetes last December, they checked my cholesterol as well. And at that time, my triglycerides were well over 800. And all my numbers were off. And then I started June 15th. So I've been doing this just about 6 months now. And I went back in August to get some follow-up lab work done. And my cholesterol was perfect, except my HDL was about 5 points low, but my triglycerides were perfect. That just right in the middle of the range, what I can't remember the exact, it was less than 150 for sure. And that one just really surprised me. Reversed the type 2 diabetes. I was feeling, from my shoulders to my toes, I was feeling arthritic, completely gone. I had neuropathy in my middle toe. The neuropathy does tend to flare up from time to time, but not nearly as, like there's days I don't even notice it. And it's one of those conditions I look for, because you can just feel the numbness or tingling or whatever. So that's mostly gone. I don't know that one will ever completely go away. Cause according to my doctor, that one's caused from hammer toe. Man, I feel like I'm missing some stuff. That it's just, the list goes on and on, man.
That's a long list.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel 30 again. I'm 55, about to turn 56 here soon. And, I feel like I'm 30 again. Actually, I'm not sure I felt this good when I was 30. That's when I started getting fat.
Because you were probably dealing with most of these issues when you were 30, just at a lower pain level, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Wow.
And I still have probably, 15, 25 more pounds I want to lose. So I'm kind of hoping to hit that by my 56th birthday. So we'll see.
Nice. When's your birthday?
February 11th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got plenty of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
But I will say the closer you get to your target weight, the slower it takes for some.
Yeah. So I've hit a huge plateau, where up until we went hunting into October, early November, and the weight was falling off like crazy. And, since we've been back, I've been plateaued since we got back at the, first week in November. And, but I think part of that, cause I incorporated, walking, I was doing, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 steps a day. So I would go and walk for an hour and then rely on my motions at work or at home to get me the rest of the steps. And I haven't been doing the walking mostly because it was starting to get really cold and I work a night shift. So when I do my walking, it's at midnight, and at midnight outside, it's pretty darn cold. Right. So,
right.
We did just buy a new treadmill though. So I've started incorporating your walking again. So I expect to see that weight start to fall off a little bit more.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
So what about you, Doug? Have you, what other things have you seen that improved with you?
Eczema went away as well. I also did have a little arthritis where my brother broke my collarbone when we were kids. That's, haven't noticed that. It, just in the last couple of years, it was starting to give me some aches and pains, and haven't felt that all year. So it's been a very interesting ride.
That's awesome. So for everybody watching, I'm sure that they're going to go, okay, these guys are hunters. So that in their mind, a lot of people think, well, these guys are already carnivores, right? So how is it that you guys didn't just eat a carnivore diet?
Well, you grow up believing that saturated fat and red meat are going to kill you. So you rely on the standard American diet that all these agencies try to push on you, right? Eat your bread, eat your grains. And so we very, or at least me, I can't speak for Doug, but I would very conservatively eat whatever meat I had in my freezer. And whenever I process my animals, deer, elk, any of the wild game is going to be extremely lean and have hardly any fat on it. So a lot of hunters will add the fat in when they're processing their meat. I never did that. Mm-hmm. From the time I shot my first animal, because I can remember my dad going, okay, how do you want to process this? And as a kid, you don't know the cuts of meat and all this other stuff. I'm just rattling stuff off thinking I knew what I talked about or knew what I was talking about. And then my dad said, well, how much fat do you want to add? And I said, well, not fat's bad for you. Cause that's what you grew up believing. Right. And so right now I have a freezer full of deer and elk. Cause again, I've only been doing this 6 months, got a bunch of meat with no fat added. So now until I get through all that meat, I got to get creative in how I add my fat into it. So
interesting.
Yeah. Same. And I actually, even this year, just kind of out of habit, I didn't, when for all the ground deer that from the deer I got this year, I didn't have them add any fat to it, but I figure, I'm going to start making my own beef tallow from the leftovers from the brisket, whatever you cut off, I'm going to start rendering my own tallow there. So I'll figure I'll add that back in as I need, not to mention when we were on that ATV trip, Rick brought some deer from our catch from last year, and we made tacos, and he did two pots because there's people in the family that aren't going to eat the deer. So, or we thought everybody ended up eating it except for, I think, two people, but our wives. I had brought some bacon grease and I'm like, well, we can add some fat in with this. And mm-hmm. Making deer tacos with bacon grease turned out fantastic.
It sounds delicious.
That pot was completely cleaned out, and we actually had leftovers of the ground beef.
Yeah, there was like two and a half pounds left of the ground beef, and everyone just devoured the deer meat. So it was pretty cool.
Bacon grease for the win.
Yeah.
So I still intend to add in my own fats, because I just, that plus this way I know what fat I'm adding back in. Have somebody else process your meat for you. You assume it's beef tallow, but where did that beef tallow come from? I don't know. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I just talked with a gentleman the other day about, he asked me if I had ever gone to Save-A-Lot and the grocery store. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, have you ever ate the ribeyes from there? I said, no, not really, but I have from Aldi's. And he's like, man, I don't know what kind of meat, what kind of cow those ribeyes came off of. They were like $6 or $7 a pound. And he said, but I don't think it was ribeye. But yeah, knowing where your food came from is very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you plan on adding to yours, Rick, in order to add some fats back in?
I have used the bacon grease as well. I've used a lot of butter trying to add the fat back in. I've used a lot of bacon, just to top it off, and even eggs. I'll make a patty with the egg and bacon, kind of like a bacon cheeseburger with the extra egg in it. So that's how I'm kind of trying to do it right now. Every once in a while, if I just want something quick and simple, I don't add anything, but I'll try to make sure that, you know, when I eat breakfast, I get that extra egg or bacon in my meals. But I mostly do add, it's mostly bacon is what I'm adding to my meat right now.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So same for you, Doug?
Yeah. It's been mostly the bacon grease at this point, and actually quite a bit of butter. So if I'm making, I had an elk steak the other night, just put some butter on it as I'm kind of bringing it up, because I'll smoke it up to temperature, up to about 120, and then I'll sear it to finish it off. But so I'll put a big pat of butter right in the middle of it, let that soak in while it's cooking.
Nice. That's awesome. So if you guys haven't done this yet, I know we talked a little bit before the show about histamine intolerance in smokers. So what I like to do instead of butter is cook my eggs in smoked tallow. And man, I'm telling you, it is next level.
Yeah.
Smoked tallow. Sure. Okay. So I'm going to have to get that smoked tallow recipe from you.
But it's super simple. You just take a cast iron, put all your fat trimmings in it. And whenever you're smoking a brisket or a pork butt or whatever, just put the pot in there on a smoker and occasionally go out and stir it. And it'll absorb that smoky flavor into it while it renders. And you just strain it and put it in quart jars. And I just take like 2 or 3 spoonfuls of that and put it in the skillet when I fry my eggs. And oh, man.
That's good. All right. Challenge accepted.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So when you guys go hunting, do you guys have a preference on what animal you like to hunt, or?
Big game, mostly. Out here, it's deer and elk, Rocky Mountain elk. And, you know, we have a draw system here, so it's kind of a lottery system. And so between Doug, our dad, and I, we always try to draw for both deer and elk, because you're usually going to get turned down for one or the other.
Really?
Yeah. It's
part of the population, or why is that?
It's part of the population management and control.
Okay.
Yeah. And so go ahead, Doug.
Oh, so you can, at least in the area we're in, you can actually, you can get bull elk licenses over the counter. The cow elk is on the draw system, but all the deer in our area is on a draw system. So like for this year, for example, out of the three of us, I was the only one to draw a deer. Rick, you had a cow, right?
I had a cow, so I was successful on that draw. But then you two had to go over the counter bull. Yeah. And then Doug and I went over the counter bears, another one we can get over the counter. So we were going for bear as well. So we had 6 tags.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very warm year this year. And we, first time since I've been back hunting with them that I didn't see a single elk all week long.
Same here.
I mean, normally, even if you don't get one, you'll see one, you know, a couple miles away on the next ridge. Mm-hmm. But it was so warm and they were so high. And we went higher this year than we've ever gone before and still weren't finding them. So
Well, in Colorado too, last year, last winter had a really bad, there's a really bad winter kill. Not so much in the area we hunt. It was more in the northern part of the state, but there was still a pretty harsh winter in the mountains for all the wild game.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I guess it's a little different here in Ohio because deer are like squirrels.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, man. We have a client that's in Columbus, Ohio, and it's a private school. And I mean, every time I go through their property, there is literally like 40 deer just like right next to the road. And yeah. Deer absolutely everywhere here in Ohio.
Do you hunt?
I don't, but yeah, I mean, you almost don't have to in Ohio. You can just drive down the roads.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll hit one.
Find fresh kill at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually, because occasionally I end up having a conversation with somebody who, you know, thinks I'm a terrible person for hunting deer. And I just tell them, I'm like, you know, there's almost 2 million car crashes a year where somebody hits a deer in this country. It's like 1.9 million a year or something like that. So
I can believe it.
You know, if we all stopped hunting, and I'm not saying everybody should hunt, that's not sustainable either. But if we all stopped hunting, that number would go way up, first of all.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if we all stopped hunting, then we probably would have less vegans too, because those deers like to eat those vegetables.
Yeah. You know, when we started this channel, I kind of approached Doug about it because, you know, again, we were watching all these videos and there's just a ton out there. In fact, Carnivore Transformer, I think is his handle on YouTube.
Uh-huh. Yep.
He came up with a list and Doug and I actually counted it. And there's like 288 channels out there on carnivore. And so we were like, okay, did they really need another carnivore channel out there and who'd be willing to watch? And so we thought our little unique little niche was, well, we hunt for our food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I haven't seen any other channels out there other than Laura Russell. She does hunt for her food as well, but nobody's talking about it. And we thought, okay, there's our niche. Let's see if we can get people on board with this.
Yeah. I love that for sure.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't put yourself in that niche, there's still only one Rick and there's still only one Doug. So people will tune in just for that alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our channel's still pretty small. We're working on it.
Even when you think people aren't watching, they are for sure. So just out of the blue, somebody will be like, oh, I watched you for X amount of time, but they never comment until one day, all of a sudden, they just come out of the woodwork. Store-bought meat versus what you guys are doing, you know, what are the benefits of hunting your own meat?
Well,
a tagline.
Yeah.
We have new tagline.
Steroid-free, antibiotic-free.
Wild-caught.
Wild-fed, wild-caught.
Yeah.
And field-to-table.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to taste it, but it's just like the difference in tasting, you know, corn fed to grass fed beef, right? The reality of it is, and even the ranchers will tell you that the grass fed beef doesn't taste as good as the corn fed because the corn fed is going to be more fatty.
Right.
What we eat is very lean. So we do have to add some fat back into it. But we know what we got, you know, we know that they're haven't been loaded full of steroids and antibiotics and a whole bunch of other stuff that we're not sure what's going to do once it hits our system. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So it definitely seems much, much healthier. And I had heard that there's between, at least with beef, omega threes or higher in grass fed, grass finished versus the grain fed. So now in terms of real world, how that makes you feel, I couldn't tell the difference, but when we can, we buy grass-fed, grass-finished from our local rancher. But it's quite expensive, especially if you're buying ribeye.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. But you can't really beat the feeling of sourcing your own food either.
Right.
I think what most people don't realize is Rick and I have a relationship with our food that most people never will have. You know, most people that have a relationship with food, it's an unhealthy one.
Right.
And their food addictions. When I eat a steak of a deer that I got, you know, it reminds me of that moment and being out there with the animal. And people don't realize how much hunters have a love and respect for the animals that they, that we go after.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more so than what the vegans do. Cause they're in love with an idea. We're in love with the actual experience in being out there and enjoying their company.
Well, and there's an argument too to be made that, that it's a much more humane process compared to what the way the cattle is processed. And you know, it's a very high stress situation for them. They probably sense that, you know, their days are numbered, especially when they're being herded through. And it's just, you know, when, as long as you have a good clean shot, you know, it's, our animals are never going to know their number was up.
Right.
And we're pretty good shots. our animals don't, not to say we've never had a bad shot, but our animals don't suffer, which actually helps because adrenaline can affect the flavor of your meat as well, mm-hmm. including your, you know, your cows, your pigs, your chickens. It can really affect the flavor of the meat and the color, even. It can affect the color of it. And so,
wow.
Yeah, you can tell when you look at our meat, it's nice and pink, and the animals weren't stressed at all. They didn't even know we were there. And I believe in my heart that it's a much more humane way of doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah. If I was to raise or harvest my own food, I think I probably would prefer the way you guys do it, just because if I was raising cattle, I would probably befriend the cow and
wouldn't want to kill it.
Yeah. I'd probably have to raise them for a friend and then he would raise mine and yeah, do it that way. But have you guys ever considered raising your own cattle?
If I had the property for it, for sure I would. And actually my wife and I do talk about it occasionally, about we're kind of remote as it is, but we're talking about becoming even more remote. And hopefully that would come with a few acres. I definitely would. And the other thing I'd love to do is start raising my own chickens for sure. I mean, cause mm-hmm. you know, just think of the money you could save.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, you know. And the eggs are much better. Rick's oldest son actually lives closer to me than he does to him. And I got some eggs from him and they're fantastic.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's definitely something that's on my wish list, but not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially the eggs, because I love eggs, man. And I eat a lot of them. And it'd be great to just go out there and nab what you need for the morning, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have some friends here that occasionally I'll get my eggs from, but you know, in the cooler months, they're not laying as much. And so you might have to rely on the grocery store, but I do try to source my eggs from, you know, friends I have that do have chickens.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you guys see yourself stopping the carnivore diet anytime soon?
Nope. No, this is going to be a lifelong thing for me now. I think, I think once I hit all my goals, and I actually kind of do this now if we're at a restaurant and they don't have a carnivore substitute for us, you know, say a potato or hash browns or French fries, if they don't have a carnivore substitute, like cottage cheese or something like that, then I will order a salad. So I do eat an occasional salad still, but it's only when I go out to eat. At home, there's no vegetables in our pantry right now. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I go out to eat, I just tell them, don't bring any sides. And they look at you like you're a complete alien. And I'm like, and bring some extra butter too. And they're thinking, oh, what's that for? You know, like,
yeah,
for sure.
That's been my experience too, is, you know, and then they try to talk you out of it. Like, are you sure? It's the same price either way. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat it. So don't bring it.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I even asked him, can I substitute these five sides that you were going to give me with my meal with like a couple strips of bacon or a couple eggs or whatever? Oh, we can't do that. I'm like, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And you just don't want to do it. There's not a button for it, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah. So I just chalk it up as a mulligan. I have to eat out for this time. And yeah, it's going to cost me $30 for that 20-ounce ribeye and with no sides or nothing else. And it's not going to taste as good as what I make.
Yeah.
So take it on the chin for that time and go home and make some eggs or something.
Yeah. That's the worst too. When you're out, you order that ribeye and you cut into it and you're just like, if I just wasn't lazy today, I just had a much better steak.
Exactly. Exactly. For sure. If somebody was considering a carnivore diet, maybe they're a hunter and they're considering, maybe this is for me, they've got some health issues and things like that. What would you say to somebody like that?
I have talked to many people about this now. You know, when people start finding out, and actually, like when I walk into work, I just went to a night shift a year ago, as of November. And so there's a lot of people I haven't seen for months and months that I used to work with on day shift. And just today when I go in for the Christmas party, they're like, gosh, dang, man, you've lost a lot of weight. And I'm like, I know. Well, how'd you do it? Well, let me tell you. And then I share my experiences with them and everything I've healed. And then they're like, really? Serious? And like, you have to convince them. And I'm like, don't take my word for it. Go watch these YouTube videos. And listen, I mean, I'm not the only success story out there. And then I also try to encourage them to listen to the, you know, Barry Chafee, Baker, all those guys. Cause again, they show you the studies and they show you the data that says this is a healthy diet for you to do. And I've had even some of the guys, and gals, start the diet and they don't last for more than a week. And then they're back. You see them eating a bag of potato chips while they're in their cubicle, you know, like, wow, I tried.
Right.
So
for me, I get the same kind of things, obviously. Actually, my wife's aunt was just here and I could see the look and like, was very impressed with how much weight my wife and I have both lost. But still, when you talk to them about it, you can kind of see this like, you have to be malnourished in their eyes, right? And trying to convince people of otherwise. But for anybody who's looking into doing it, just a couple pieces of advice, I would say, one, actually kind of ease yourself into it. Because I literally went from having a big old slice of cake one night to carnivore the next day. And the keto flu hit me hard. I kind of got lucky that it didn't affect my wife at all. Cause I wasn't going to quit on her when I was the one that talked her into doing it.
Right.
So I would say definitely ease into it, but once you know, take that, you know, 2 weeks or whatever to get fully carnivore, then stay completely strict on it for at least a month, just to see how you feel at the end of it. And I think anybody that, you know, does this for at least 30 days, preferably longer, of course. But if you can stay that course, as good as you end up feeling, you don't want to go back. I mean, just the quality of sleep alone, it is worth eating this way. And frankly, now what I tell most people, I only crave steak anymore. I mean, I do have my bacon and eggs every morning, but the only thing I truly crave is a big, thick steak.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I crave steak like crazy. Ribeye has always been my favorite. But again, growing up, you learn fat's bad and, you know, ribeye is extremely fatty. So I went for years and years and years without, if I was going to order a steak, ribeye was the last thing on my choice. It's bad as I wanted it. And now it's like the only thing I order. So.
Yeah, for sure. I was right there with you. Give me a lean cut or filet or something like that. Now it's ribeye all the way.
Yep.
I've cut so many of those things up. I know the little area where you're going to get that little tough piece of connective tissue. and where it's going to be and exactly how to cut around it. So I'm not eating it. And
yep.
So you get your whole, you get the whole side and cut them yourself?
Sometimes, yes. Other times, most of the time it's they're pre-made, but there's okay. always that little strip that's in there.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. With most of them. So yeah, for sure. So do you guys have any tips for anybody that may be watching in terms of little tricks or something like that, that you guys do?
For me, I think, again, it was just the research and listening to all the success stories and then just staying engaged with that. That's what did it for me is just, you know, you hear all these people's different stories and how they've cured their overall health. And, you know, when you're told you're type 2 diabetic and you sit in your recliner because your joints are too achy to do anything. And man, just now I'm not in my recliner all day. I'm out, you know, working in the garage or, you know, doing something. I just find what motivates you, whether it's the videos or whatever it might be. Maybe you want to start a YouTube channel I've seen a lot of carnivores out there that have confessed that they started the YouTube channel to keep them, it's the word I'm looking for, keep them accountable. Yeah. And that's not why we started it, but there are those out there who have. So find what motivates you and stick with it.
Yeah.
Because, man, you're going to feel better in the end.
Yeah. Very cool. I would definitely say ease into it in the beginning, just to try to help avoid that keto flu. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have some element or other form of electrolytes on hand during that period as well.
And not Gatorade.
Yeah, not Gatorade. It's
like a real,
sugar water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, that's the important thing is, you know, Doug said to your electrolytes that people that might be new coming into this, stay away from processed food, period. If it comes in a box or a bag, it's been highly processed. So,
absolutely. So yeah. Do both of you guys leave the house and go to work?
No, I work from home. Okay. My wife and I both work from home. So, okay. We're also considering getting some property further away from the city,
right.
Which for both of us would be actually pretty easy since I can work from anywhere in the world, basically. She's a little bit more limited on where we can move, but.
Okay.
I do not work at home. I work in a building, so.
Okay. Well, this is perfect then. Can each of you guys kind of walk me through what a typical day of eating looks like? So if somebody's wondering, what does it look like? Somebody that works from home or has to leave somewhere, maybe presented with those sorts of challenges.
So we get up in the morning. I'm actually usually at work by about 7 in the morning. And then right around 7:30, I'll make a pot of coffee. I still drink coffee. We actually did cut out coffee for about the first 4 weeks, and then added it back in and didn't really feel any negative effects. So we kept it there. We do the bulletproof coffee. So I add a little butter in there. And then that pretty much carries me through. I will go out, start the oven, throw some bacon in around noon. And then between my wife and I, we probably take down a dozen eggs at about noon together. She'll right. do like 5. I usually do like 6 or 7. And then from there, really, that carries me all the way through to the evening. About 6 o'clock, we'll have a steak or pound of hamburger. I do make a carnivore style beef stroganoff that's kind of like a thick beef soup, but it's good to kind of keep things changing up.
That sounds good. Awesome. So you're basically like kind of like 2 meals a day then?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
2 meals every day for sure. I can't tell you. Well, last time we had breakfast was that family trip.
Awesome. What about you, Rick?
Yeah. So for me, when I work, I work a compressed work week. So I work 3-4 days a week, 12-hour shifts. And so on the days I work, it's pretty much the same thing. I'll get up and I'll make, for me, I do about, 5 eggs. I do 5 eggs and then anywhere from 5 to 7 slices of bacon. and I'll eat that before I go to work. And so on the days I work, I'm OMAD. But if I do get super hungry and feel like I'm going to cave, I keep a bunch of sardines in my drawer at work. So if I do get hungry, you know, sometime during the middle of the night, I'll eat a can of the sardines, and then that'll usually carry me into the next day. On my days off, I do the same thing. I have the bacon and eggs, and then, yeah, I'll have usually a steak, but sometimes I'll cook up some burger or something. I just picked up some chicken that I want to add. We have an air fryer that I don't know how to use, so I want to start practicing with the air fryer. And so I have some pork rinds that I'm going to crumble up and try to make some fried chicken in the air fryer with that tomorrow night. Or actually, I have to work tomorrow night. You're going to have my wife do it, I guess. But yeah, so I'm two meals on my days off, and usually I'm OMAD on my days on.
Okay, awesome. And you feel good while you're working, just eating that basically once a meal or once a
week? Oh, yeah. It seems like sometimes if maybe I'm not getting enough fat, that's when I tend to get hungry. And like Doug and I were talking about it right before hunting, I was hitting some small plateaus, and that's when I hit the plateaus is when I tend to feel hungry more often.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's awesome. Very cool. So where can everybody find you on the internet?
We are at Carnivore Hunters on YouTube. We also have a Facebook page we just started. It's and that's it for right now. Oh, and we are also starting our own product line. And the links are in our videos.
Okay.
Yeah.
What product is it?
Just
Carnivore Hunters merch.
Okay.
We have t-shirts, hoodies,
very cool.
You know, hats.
Right.
So,
awesome. I'll have to get me one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for mine to show up. I think because of the holidays, it's been a little, you know, all the deliveries have been a little slow, but I ordered my wife and I a hoodie. I ordered myself a t-shirt and a ball cap. So, and we've got a coffee mug and Pilsner glass, and we'll see how that does. We just, in the last 2 weeks, Doug, started that,
right?
Very, very recent. So
that's awesome. Well, best of luck with that, with you guys. I'll make sure that I, you know, link your channel, your Facebook page, and your merch and all that sort of stuff in the description
below. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Doug and Rick, I'm so thankful that you guys were here to share your story, and I look forward to more content from you guys on your channel, and we'll chat again soon, guys.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Thanks for having us on. This has been fun.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.